Breaking news. This is Jay Sekulow. FBI agent Peter Strzok strikes again. He stopped the FBI from ending the General Flynn probe.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The case has been a travesty of justice from the get-go, as the documents that have just come out explain and make clear. They were planning to set him up in some fashion, tried one thing after the other. First was the Russia hoax, and there was absolutely no evidence of that.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
So by January 4th, they had to close the file on the Russia hoax on General Flynn. So then, you're right, the next day was a meeting in the Oval Office with Obama, which happens to be the same day that Christopher Steele wipes out all his documents on his supposed Steele dossier database.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, the hits keep coming, and I got to tell you something. Peter Strzok, remember, the counterintelligence investigation here was called Crossfire Hurricane. That was the name of the actual investigation that was engaged in, Crossfire Hurricane. What happens? Well, in that investigation, they're going after various targets. One of them happens to be General Flynn. We announced on the broadcast yesterday that it was an entrapment case. They set him up from the very beginning. Now we learn today that famed FBI counterintelligence agent, the sanctimonious Peter Strzok, found out that the FBI was closing the Flynn case because there was no violations of law. So the appropriate thing to do then is what? Close the case. But instead of closing the case, he sends an email to his colleagues in the FBI, said, don't close the case involving Admiral Flynn, General Flynn, who they referred to as Crossfire Razor. Crossfire Razor. Don't close that, even though the FBI, Andy Economo, former U.S. attorney, already concluded that there was, in fact, no case.
That's right. The FBI determined there was no derogatory information. Strzok was determined to get his man. He had focused and targeted on him, and he was not about to let him go. And he says in a text, hey, don't close that case. Those are his language. Keep the razor blade open because we're going to cut his throat.
Which, of course, is pretty much what they try to do here. Jordan, we have pointed out the irregularities of this for a long time, but now it's just getting much more pronounced.
That's right. I mean, think about that. The same day the FBI, January 4th, concludes that the FBI is closing the investigation into Michael Flynn and his activities regarding Crossfire Razor because there was no wrongdoing and not a viable candidate as part of the larger Crossfire Hurricane umbrella case. The exact same day, Strzok instructed the FBI case manager handling Crossfire Razor to keep the investigation open. He said, hey, don't close Crossfire Razor. And he informed the FBI case manager, and this is key, that the FBI's, we know about this floor, seventh floor was involved, referring to the FBI leadership. Who's that leadership? That's his boss, Priestap. That's Jim Comey, that's Andy McCabe, and of course, James Baker and Lisa Page. Lisa Page then gets a 14-page research paper on the Logan Act, which, as many constitutional scholars have pointed out, has never been utilized to prosecute anyone in U.S. history.
Because it's completely unconstitutional. I think it was once applied in 1829, and that person was acquitted. That tells you the nature of what it is. What a setup! Case closed. Well, let's reopen it because we're going to try to get Flynn to lie or at least get him fired from the FBI. And now the truth is coming out because you've got an attorney general that's following the evidence where it leads. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Your reaction to this unbelievable breaking news, and a huge thank you to our ACLJ donors. You put us over the top yesterday with a great response. Especially yesterday, but the whole month. Thank you so much from all of us at the ACLJ. We'll be back with your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment. Share it with your...
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So the investigation was called Crossfire Hurricane. General Flynn was referred to as Crossfire Razor. The case was closed. In pursuit of information of Flynn, this according to media reports, this Crossfire Hurricane team investigated from a variety of sources, checking logical databases for any derogatory information. January 4th FBI report indicates that no derogatory information was identified in FBI holdings. That's not enough, though. Basically, Strzok begs to keep this open. Don't close it yet. If it hasn't closed yet, don't close it yet. We may have more information on Crossfire Razor that we want to bring. And then we learn, of course, what happened here. Than, what's the reaction in Washington?
Well, Jay, I think the reaction in Washington is along the lines of what you heard from Jim Jordan during the break, that if this can happen to the president and his top officials, it can happen to anyone. And Jay, when you have a power this awesome, a power to surveil, a power to investigate, a power to ruin a reputation that has been otherwise sterling, Jay, it has to be soberly safeguarded, and it was not in this case. Look, you're supposed to follow the evidence wherever it may lead. Apparently, unless you're Peter Strzok and James Comey, then if it doesn't match your narrative, you throw the evidence out the window, you keep a case open without it. Jay, I am increasingly hearing, including from the Republican whip in the United States House, words like prosecution and serve time. I think they are convinced that there were dirty investigators, that there was a political narrative. And Jay, I think we are long past the point where people on the Hill are going to be satisfied unless specific people are held accountable for these actions. If that doesn't happen, Jay, we're bound to repeat it. That's got to happen in this case.
So here's what happens. On January 4th, an FBI memo concludes these words. The FBI is closing this investigation if new information is identified or reported to the FBI regarding activities of Crossfire Razor. That, again, is General Flynn. The FBI will consider reopening the investigation. On the same day, January 4th, 2017, Peter Strzok instructed the FBI case manager handling Crossfire Razor to keep the investigation open. Hey, don't close Razor, he said. And he later said the seventh floor is involved. Andy, that meant the leadership of the FBI was involved.
That's right. That's a word that is used, seventh floor, because that's where the leadership of the FBI is located, in the Hoover Building. And so that means that Comey, McCabe, the highest echelons of the FBI were aware that there was no derogatory information against General Flynn, but they were determined to keep the case open because they had targeted him as a person that they were going to get. And that means the top of the FBI. That means the sanctimonious, pious James Comey, who made fun of the fact that he sent in two agents, despite White House counsel not being present, to interview General Flynn and to get admissions, or hopefully, if they couldn't get admissions or the truth out of him, to get him to lie so that they could prosecute him. This means that Comey and the highest levels of the FBI were involved in targeting this man.
George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley called the revelations. He said, "I've been a criminal defense lawyer for a long time, for decades." He then wrote, and I'm quoting, "I have seen abusive tactics. However, this one is one of the most thuggish records I've ever seen." He said later, there was a time when networks like MSNBC and CNN argued for civil liberties and against such abuses. Now, because such principles would benefit the president, there is just a shrug with a common mantra: everyone does it. This shows you the bias that exists. But Jordan, the more important bias here is the bias of the leadership at the top of the FBI, which I think finally is about to be held accountable.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is the headline from the Wall Street Journal yesterday in their opinion piece by Kimberly Strassel posted last night. It's called "The FBI's Flynn Outrage." I tweeted it out. But the subtitle is "New Documents." I mean, think about this. From the Wall Street Journal: shock the conscience and demonstrate the need for accountability. And this ties into what Than is already talking about. Remember, members of Congress they've held back on whether or not people like Comey, Strzok should face criminal prosecution. They haven't really commented on that. And now we're starting to hear that from people like Chuck Grassley, Senator Grassley, who's very reserved when it comes to that position, Senator Lindsey Graham, the leader, Mitch McConnell, and as Than pointed out, Steve Scalise as well, the House Majority Whip. When you put all of those folks together, this is a hurricane coming straight at these former top FBI leaders. It's their time to face the hurricane. And by the way, let's not forget, I always want to remind people every time we talk about this, when these documents were turned over to Michael Flynn's legal team, they were stamped with SCO. It means it came from the office of the special counsel, Bob Mueller. He sat on this during his entire investigation and did nothing with it.
Bob, I said it last night on Sean Hannity's program. What Bob Mueller did was an absolute outrage. Lack of leadership that allowed this to go on. This thing was run by Andrew Weinstein. And I will tell you something. What these prosecutors did, they should be embarrassed. I dealt with them. And it's despicable. The conduct they engaged in. The raids of people's homes. The targeting of General Flynn. The FBI director saying, "Oh, I thought I could get away with it." The Office of Special Counsel knowing this Brady material, which is exculpatory material, was available and does nothing about it. In fact, not only does nothing about it, prosecutes him and doesn't give him the material. Now, this tells you the nature of what was going on here. But listen to the Peter Strzok smugness in a hearing with Trey Gowdy.
Right, right. Well, we hadn't gotten to the will yet.
Well, I'm trying to cut to the chase and explain the text.
The will is the American people. Is that right? That's your testimony. The will stop it. You were speaking on behalf of the American people. Is that correct?
Mr. Gowdy, what my testimony is and what I said during extensive asking of this question during my prior interview is I don't recall writing that text.
Are you denying writing the text?
What I can tell you is that text in no way suggested that I or the FBI would take any action to influence the candidacy of
Agent Strzok. That is a fantastic answer to a question nobody asked.
Yep.
The guy was a liar, is a liar, and I think he's going to be held accountable and brought to justice. I think that's what happens in situations like that. It's certainly what should happen in situations like this. So the question next becomes, Andy, what is the process? You got Durham under the leadership of the Attorney General of the United States. You got John Durham looking at this. What does that mean?
That means that there is a U.S. attorney who is seasoned, well-known, well-respected from the District of Connecticut, who has been appointed by Attorney General Barr to look into these matters, to convene a grand jury, which he has done, and to investigate these matters. And I hope that somebody looks at the federal criminal civil rights statute under Title 18, which makes it a crime to deprive someone of his constitutional and civil rights. And this is exactly what I want them to be looking at and to make a determination if General Flynn's civil rights have been violated under Title 18, prosecute them and see that someone goes to the penitentiary for these actions. The time has come. It is long past come. And Robert Mueller, you are right, Jay, when you said that Robert Mueller should be held accountable, although Andrew Weissman was running that investigation. Robert Mueller was simply a front man.
Yeah, absent without leave. I mean, it was like he was there, but really not doing anything. I will tell you this, as the lawyer that, and Jordan and Andy worked on this with me very closely, we dealt with this for 3 years. This is nothing of this is a surprise. It's outrageous, but this is what we expected. What a waste of the taxpayer money. What a waste of taxpayer time. What a waste of our resources. What a despicable act by the leadership of the FBI, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, James Baker, Precept, Page, Strzok. This isn't, let's get to the deep state. This is right at the top of the leadership. You don't have to dig very far, Jordan, to get to this.
No, and what's interesting to me about this is that in light of the targeting of President Trump and his transition, but the president specifically, what may ultimately bring these individuals to face justice, criminal justice, is their treatment of Michael Flynn and the notes that we're getting, the information that was withheld from Michael Flynn, the Washington field office saying to close it, the seventh floor saying don't close it, the Logan Act, all of this. You put it all together, putting forward, putting a lie in his head, like telling him he was lying, even when he wasn't, telling him he was violating laws, threatening that they would go after his son. This is what could actually put some of these individuals behind bars.
Yep.
It won't be what they necessarily did, which was as horrible as it was, to President Trump. But it could be what they did to Michael Flynn. And I think a lot of them thought they were off the hook with the President Trump issue. And now they're right back on the hook. And they are now facing the hurricane of the Department of Justice.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls and comments on Facebook as well. If you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Thank you yesterday for your support of the ACLJ for our March and April Matching Challenge set records because of your generosity to the ACLJ. We appreciate it. Stay engaged with us also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up next, John Solomon, Just the News, got a great, really led the reporting on this story. So we're here for John. Up again, ACLJ.org. Call us at 800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
That will not go away. If you look at this historically, that's what you're going to say. This is the story that would not end. This was the story that would not leave. And that's because reporters, good reporters, investigative journalists stayed on it. Lawyers stayed on it. But I'll tell you who led the charge on this was John Solomon. Is John Solomon. He, of course, is the editor-in-chief of Just the News, a pretty new news site. He's, of course, worked with the Washington Post, Fox News. You see him all the time. And a good friend of ours. And John, you and I have been talking about this for, I don't know, 3 years. We knew there was some.
Yeah, 2017. I remember there was a moment in the summer of 2017 where we were reached out to by someone senior in the FBI saying, I think what happened to Mike Flynn is not right. And there was a dirty trick played. And the FBI entrapped him. And it took us 3 years to unravel that entire story. But thankfully, we have an attorney general who believes in transparency now, and we're getting these documents out, and we can see that what happened to Mike Flynn is not only a travesty, it should scare any one of us in America, because if it could happen to him, it can happen to any average Joe in American.
Of course, that's the great concern here. It did happen. Now, what do you find, John, in your view, the most troubling? Is it the Strzok and Page or their little email back and forth, or is it really the fact that the FBI closed the file, closed the investigation on General Flynn, and then Strzok says, no, keep first Crossfire Razor open?
Yeah, I think it's the sequence, right, which is the career people made the right decision. They investigated General Flynn, found nothing. He's not a Russian asset. He's done nothing wrong, and he didn't lie, and so let's close this down. And then the seventh floor gets involved. Once you hear that word, the seventh floor, that means the director and deputy director of the FBI are involved. And they're trying to overrule the career people who know how to do their job. And then it becomes political, right? We know it becomes political because Bill Priestap's handwritten notes, the former counterintelligence chief for the FBI's handwritten note, says, I think we're playing games here. I'm worried playing games will hurt the institution. And then he writes down, what is our intention? Is it to get the truth, get an admission, or is it to catch him in a lie so that we can prosecute him and get him fired? Once you hear the word, the FBI is debating whether they're trying to get a guy fired, they've long since exceeded their role. Their job is not to get people fired. Their job is to solve crimes and move on. That's
their
job.
Is also not to get people to lie. I mean, that's not their job. Their job is to find the truth. It's not to get people to lie. But the setup here was clear from the moment it started.
That's right. I think that's right. Listen, I think the career people handled this right in December and January. And on January 4th, they were going to do the right thing and close it down. And then James Comey's team on the seventh floor got involved. And now it becomes a political operation. And that's where the FBI went astray.
You know, John, I keep saying that we're just seeing the beginning of this, kind of the opening salvo, if you will, of this whole thing. Where do you see this going? I mean, John Durham obviously is doing an investigation. Bill Barr committed to filing, following the evidence to where it leads and to get equal justice under the law. Where do you see this going?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you that this is the beginning, the tip of the iceberg, and that over the next 4 or 5 months, we're going to see a lot of dramatic events. One of the most important things that I think we learn in these new documents, which if these documents weren't found for months, right, and all of a sudden they've been found, the most likely scenario as a reporter who's covered these things for a long time, and you're a lawyer, you know this even better than I, is that there's cooperating witnesses now that are highlighting evidence that the FBI has managed to stick under a rug and hide for a long time or bury under a mattress. Those cooperating witnesses, I think, are filling in the gaps on a story that the attorney general said a few months ago, things didn't make sense to him. Well, they're beginning to make sense now to him and to Special Prosecutor Durham and to the Special Prosecutor in Flynn. And the reason they're making sense is that they now have cooperating witnesses that are filling in the blanks. And I think now there are three things to watch, right? There is the, is there false testimony? Did people testify to Congress or withhold documents from Congress during the prior investigations that should be prosecuted? Two, was there malfeasance in the investigation itself, the altering of a document to hide Carter Page's role, the withholding intentional of evidence? If they intentionally withheld evidence from the court, that could be prosecutable. And then the third part that I think could be the most intriguing and most surprising to all of us is, what went on between December of 15 and July of 16? this murky period where we know there's the Missouds and the Halpers and other people contacting Trump figures, was that an earlier operation that we didn't know about? And I'm getting strong signals that is the case. And
so
I think we're going to see developments in all of this.
Or at least an earlier beginning to Crossfire Hurricanes, what you're saying.
That's right. Yeah. And what may be troubling about it is they may have been targeting Americans without a predicate, which, as you know, violates the law. So that's a very strong area. I think one other area that comes to mind is these declassified footnotes make pretty darn clear that John Brennan's rushed effort to get an intelligence committee assessment done before Obama left office, and the conclusion that the Russians were clearly trying to help President Trump win and hurt Hillary Clinton, that has now been debunked by the declassified evidence. The Russians were feeding derogatory false information about President Trump, just like they were on Clinton. And that means they weren't trying to help either one win. They were just trying to meddle in our election. There could be some criminal investigatory actions that are being focused on right there. I see some evidence of that over the last few weeks.
Let me ask you this, John. For people that want to get information about you and what you're working on and your projects, where's the best place for them to go?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. JustTheNews.com. It's a two-month-old website. We've had about 6-7 million visitors this past month, so people are starting to find us and read us. It's a full-scale website. We have podcasts. We have videos. We have news. And we do something that most news organizations don't do. We embed our documents inside the story. So there's a tool called Dig In. You click on it. You don't have to take my word that my story is accurate. You can look at the documents yourself and make up your own mind. Very proud of it.
Yep. John Solomon, congratulations about Just the News, by the way. John Solomon, good friend of ours, been on this program many times. He's the editor-in-chief of Just the News. Go to that website, get the information. John, thanks for being on. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay. Much appreciated.
Yep. Than Bennett, we now have Senator Grassley and Senator Graham speaking out on this. Where do you think this goes in the Senate?
Yeah, so much, so important what John Solomon was talking about, the reaction from Capitol Hill. I do think this has been a game changer, Jay. That's why I referenced the remarks from the Republican whip, Steve Scalise. Here's what he said. I mean, you've got FBI agents trying to plot against a candidate for president of the United States. That should disturb everybody, Republican and Democrat and independent alike. They're dirty cops, and they ought to be held accountable and go to jail. That's a lot tougher language, Jay, than we've been hearing from Capitol Hill before. And just quickly, I thought it was also very important that John Solomon talked about potentially withholding information from Congress. Jay, you know this. We've been on this. This is why we want Chairman Schiff's transcripts released, because one of those transcripts, Jay, was the FBI agents who interviewed Michael Flynn, who found him to be truthful.
So, and Jay, that's why they don't want to release them. Jordan, that is why they don't want to release them.
No, time is of the essence here. They are playing a game of politics, like John Solomon talked about. And their game, they're playing a dangerous one. But these guys at the FBI, the former seventh floor, they've been used to playing dangerous games. So the game they're playing right now is to try and run out the clock on John Durham. They're hoping that there's a shift in who gets elected president in November, and that this investigation won't be able to come to a conclusion with possible prosecutions by then. And then you'll have a new person in office who may not pursue this. So elections are going to have serious consequences on where this goes, because as John just pointed out, I mean, this goes bigger than Mike Flynn. It goes bigger than just what we already knew. The thought, Dad, that the Crossfire Hurricane began even earlier, the John Brennan information that John just broke. I mean, all of this, elections have consequences. They are the other side here, the bad actors. They're trying to run out the clock and hope for a new administration that will just shut all this down.
All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. We're going to be joined again by our senior counsel, Andy Economo. We've got a lot of calls have come in. We're going to take those calls. Again, thank you on behalf of the ACLJ for your support. Back with more in a moment.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
We will fight for the right. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. I want you to think about what we've been talking about. If you're just joining us, I'm going to give you a little bit of a recap here. But just think about this for a moment. The case against General Flynn was closed by the FBI on January 4th of 2017. After they did the interview, they closed it. They've been checking out. They've been looking at various databases. They said they had no derogatory information about General Flynn. Nothing. Peter Strzok sends an email saying, don't close out the investigation on Crossfire Razor. That is the handle, if you will, the name they gave General Flynn. The seventh floor is now involved. Comey, who else is there? McCabe, who else is there? Strzok, excuse me, Page, Lisa Page is in that suite of offices. Who else is there? James Baker. I mean, on and on the list goes. What were they doing? Trying to concoct a case against General Flynn. That's what they were trying to do here. And Andy Economou, our senior counsel, is with us. We saw the fraud of yesterday where James Comey, I want to play that smug statement of James Comey again for everybody to hear. Take a listen.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the same room. How did that happen?
I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. There was process, and so if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals, and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
So they did. Andy said he thought he could get away with it. That's why he did it. Andy?
Yeah, listen to that cockiness, that smugness, that arrogance in his voice. I just sent two guys over there because I took advantage of the disarray in the administration. In other words, I decided that I decided that Hillary Clinton was innocent, not Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, but I, James St. Comey, decided that there was nothing with Hillary Clinton, and I closed the investigation. What do you have an attorney general sitting there for? No reason whatsoever. So just now, again, he takes the role of the king. I decided that I was just going to slip a couple of agents in there and have them nail this man that I had decided I didn't want. And I decided that I was going to get rid of by either trapping him into a 1,001 lie so that I could get him fired. I had made those decisions. This is the cockiness. And the scary thing, Jay, is if it can happen to a General Flynn, it can happen to you and me and any citizen in the United States. This is an FBI seriously out of control, seriously in the wrong. Something that we've got to really be shaking in our boots. We've got to really be scared about this. This is not anything to laugh about, as the audience did when Comey made that remark. This is something to cry about.
I'll tell you this. I think what James Comey did and the attitude, he always had this sanctimonious attitude. But what he did to General Flynn, Jordan, is a disgrace. And it was a disgrace perpetrated not just on General Flynn and against the president, but against the American people.
That's right, because as we keep reminding you, if this can happen to a 30-year decorated veteran, if it can happen to the president of the United States by the seventh floor at the FBI, it can happen to anyone, and they can target any of us and get away with it. As Jim Comey said, we do what we can get away with. Is that how we want our federal law enforcement officials operating? Well, if we can get away with it, we'll do it. May not be following it by the book, may not be following the normal procedures, but hey, we can get away with doing it, so we'll just do it that way. This is outrageous. It shocks the conscience, as the Wall Street Journal said today, and people need to go to jail. I mean, I'm finally to that point where people need to be behind bars for what was done to Michael Flynn. We come back, we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to go right to the phones. We had a lot of calls that are coming in. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's take Joanna. She's been holding for a long time.
Joanna calling in from Washington, D.C. on line one with a good question. Joanna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. Thanks for all you do. What does the average citizen do with this outrage? Who do we email? Who do we contact? We can't do anything, but you've got to give us some direction.
Well, let me give you some direction. I think first, and I'll go to Than on this, the Senate and the House, specifically the Senate here, need Judiciary Committee's looking at this. I think people can contact their senators and saying, we want this looked at. Than, what do you think?
Yeah, I actually think there's plenty you can do, and you can start by not forgetting. You can start by following this information, remembering what happened, and then insisting that your elected officials that, by the way, have oversight authority, do their job. You can insist that Chairman Schiff, who has a responsibility to conduct oversights, puts these FBI agents' transcripts out. And, Jay, you can insist that they connect the dots. Why would somebody like Peter Strzok have the hubris to think that he can override this memo that I'm holding where the D.C. field office recommends the closure of the case? Why does he think he can do that, Jay? And I'll give you the answer. He thinks he can do that because that's what James Comey did all of the time. And James Comey was his boss. So your elected officials on Capitol Hill providing their constitutionally mandated oversight, Jay, they have to connect those dots and they have to insist that those people pay a price for it.
Congressman Steve Scalise spoke exactly to what Than just said, but also you asked the question, what can we do? And we're saying contact Congress, contact the Senate. Here's what Congressman Scalise said.
My goodness, when you've got FBI agents on record, I mean, you've seen some of the documents already. And by the way, remember, it was Strzok and Page who were going back and forth during the presidential election saying, hey, they were setting up an insurance policy to stop Donald Trump from getting elected president. When you've got FBI agents trying to plot against a candidate for president of the United States, that should disturb everybody, Republican and Democrat and independent alike. They're dirty cops and they ought to be held accountable and go to jail.
So the next question, Jordan, is the political accountability here. What happens?
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I think when you hear people like Steve Scalise, Chuck Grassley, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, the list goes on. So it's not just the president calling them dirty cops anymore, the witch hunt. You've now got these long-term members of Congress who have just about, they've had enough with this whole group from the FBI who is no longer there. but it's still we're facing all these controversies and new revelations, and they're ready for them to face criminal justice. That's the political reality, because the FBI played politics with law enforcement and intelligence. And when you do that, you should face criminal prosecution. They'll have a right to defend themselves, but they should face criminal charges. And this is the first time I really do feel confident. I know our listeners have called about this so many times over the years, that we, because of the Flynn revelations, not just so much because of the Trump revelations, but the Flynn revelations, that these individuals could be facing real criminal charges and being prosecuted for what they have done to an innocent man, Michael Flynn. And again, I do want to underscore, though, because as Joanna asked, like, what does it mean for the average citizen? Elections do have consequences. We're not that far away from November. And we could go to Andy on this, because these type of prosecutions would take time. And if a new administration comes in, they can shut them down.
Well, that's absolutely true, Jordan. If you lose Bill Barr as Attorney General, and if President Trump is not reelected and Bill Barr is no longer there, it's over with, because a new president is going to remove Bill Barr and is going to put in his own person in there who may not have the zeal, who may not have the enthusiasm, the knowledge, and the skill that Bill Barr has to pursue this. And it's up to the Attorney General. You can count on a Democratic administration closing this down.
I think that, Andy, you hit it right on the head. I think that there are political ramifications to this. You have to understand that a subsequent administration doesn't have to follow through. All right, let's go ahead and take another call here, Jordan. Who's next?
Yeah, Terry's calling from Michigan on line three. Terry, welcome to JSecio Live.
Yes, my name is Terry, and I live here in Lake City, Michigan, a little small town. I work at a laundromat. I make $10 an hour. You know, these people that have these high-paying jobs, our senators, you know, that we put into office, which is sad that we have allowed these people to continue to be in office, you know, how much are they wrapped up in this? Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, you hear these people on TV, you know, all the time.
Well, you just asked a critical question, Terry. You just asked a critical question. How much are they wrapped up into this? And I want to start with Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff, when he was a minority member of the Intelligence Committee, voted to allow the transcripts of this investigation that the House had conducted through the Intelligence Committee to be released. And that would have made sense. Then he becomes the chairman of the committee, Than, and he doesn't want them released. That doesn't make sense.
Well, it only makes sense if you believe that his change of position was because it undercut his narrative, which is what I happen to believe, Jay, because there was exonerating information inside those transcripts. He had a change of heart. And I would go maybe one step further, Jay. I mean, we've been around this town a long time, and the idea that this memo from the Washington, D.C. field office of the FBI has existed since January of 2017, and no members of the Intelligence Committee in the House or the Senate had control of it and might have been able to get it out into the public in another fashion. Jay, I don't believe that. I'm with the caller on this one. I believe that several members of Congress inside the Intelligence Community oversight had this information, and it did not become public. Jay, I'm with her. I want to know who had it on Capitol Hill as well.
You know, Andy, I thought about this in the last couple of days. You and I spent a considerable time with lawyers in the special counsel's office. You know, these were lawyers from large law firms or career Department of Justice employees, well-respected in some cases. This was unbelievable what they allowed to take place under their watch. People like Bob Mueller and Jim Quarles and Andrew Goldstein, what in the world were they looking at when they knew this stuff with Strzok and Page was going on, and they did nothing, zero, to stop it until they eventually fire him? And then don't forget, once they fire Strzok, once they remove him off the special counsel's office, his phone and Lisa Page's phone, evidence in other words, gets wiped out. Under Bob Mueller's watch, under Jim Quarles' watch, under Andrew Weissman's watch, gets wiped out. If you did it or I did it, you'd be in real trouble. Andy?
Oh, well, we would be in prison if we had done anything like that. But you see, You know, you select somebody like Robert Mueller, the George Washington of Washington, D.C., and you put him up there and you set him up there as the pillar of integrity. And meanwhile, you've got 18 prosecutors who've got one thing in mind. Get the president. Get the president and everybody who is allied with and who supports the president of the United States. And that includes the man that he had the temerity to select as the national security advisor. And let's not forget something else. Who didn't like Flynn, Jay? Obama. Let's not forget Obama in this. I am not a fan of Flynn, he said. Well, the king spoke and the courtiers listened to what the king had to say. And they said, the king doesn't like him. The community organizer, our president, doesn't like him. We've got to get rid of him and we've got to figure out a way to do it. So they were taking orders from the top prior to President Trump even taking office. The corrupt, the whole thing was corrupt.
I mean, it was corrupt from beginning to end, Jordan. I'm thinking about it now, all that time we spent. They wanted to interview the president of the United States. I mean, could you imagine? Of course, we didn't do that. But could you imagine letting the president of the United States sit down with these clowns?
No, and you're right.
They
would have clowns. Tried to pull,
they were already trying to set Flynn up for a lie.
Right. They are clowns. They're a disgrace to the Department of Justice. They're a disgrace to the United States of America. Their service is no longer. I mean, to me, the idea we've got callers calling in, should they be disbarred, the ones that are attorneys? You know, I think the bigger issue, they should be behind bars. Because what they did, well, the special counsel's office sat on this. We now know they're all implicated too. So let's not just talk about Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and Jim Comey and Baker and Priestap and the FBI team and McCabe. Let's talk about everybody who worked for the special counsel, because they should also be potentially facing criminal investigation as well for sitting on this, since their stamp is what's on these new revelations.
It's unreal, really. We'll come back. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I dealt with these lawyers for 3 years. And I'm going to tell you something. What a disgrace. They knew all this and didn't let it out. They knew this information was there and didn't give it to the opposing counsel. Flynn's lawyers. Called Brady material. They lied to a FISA court. They hid evidence. They prosecuted a general on a setup. And now it's all coming out. We're going to be back with more, including your calls in this last segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. So you're going to stay tuned, stay engaged with us on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. Back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Arlene on Facebook asked a really important question, and that is, does the Attorney General and the U.S. Attorney Durham have these documents? In other words, do they have these documents? And the answer, Andy, is yes, and that's why they're coming to light.
Yes, that's right. They had the documents. Where were the documents during the 2.5 years that Mueller was conducting his investigation? Why was this document doesn't it have Office of Special Counsel imprinted on it, Jay?
It does.
We saw that language, OSC. So they knew about it. Why didn't they disclose this information? Why didn't they talk about it to us? Why didn't they tell us that we know that there are irregularities in the prosecution of these cases that relate to your client as well and could have been? Why didn't they disclose it to us? Because they had an agenda, and the agenda was not investigate crimes, but create them.
Yep, but they lost. They lost, and we won. And we're going to win again. All right, let's go right back to the phones. Jordan, who's next?
We're going to go in order now. People have been holding on. Julie in Tennessee on line 4. Julie, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Julie.
Thank you. Appreciate all that you do for the president. One question I have specifically about today's topic is many of these people that have committed possible crimes here are lawyers. What is the standard for disbarment? Because that's a whole different thing than criminal.
Sure.
And how do we go about getting them?
Yeah, go ahead and finish, Julie. I'm sorry there. Go ahead and finish.
Okay, and how do we go about getting them disbarred if they meet the criteria for that?
Okay, so if they are convicted of a crime, in this case a felony, they will be disbarred. It's really automatic. So indictment alone is not enough because that's just an accusation. But if they're convicted, that is enough that they will be disbarred. That's how that process works. No, it's not there yet, but let's see how this plays out. But I think bar license are on the line here. And I want to just echo what Andy just said. You know, there was all kind of exculpatory evidence that why did they continue the Russia investigation when they knew very early on that there was nothing there? They knew it and they kept going because they were trying to get the president on something else. In that case, their failed attempt at obstruction. That's what this was about. All right, Jordan, who's next?
Yeah, Virginia and Michigan on line 2, and she's bringing up one of Andy's favorites, targets in Washington, D.C. Virginia, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Jay. Thank God for your team, for Mr. President.
Yep.
I tell you, you guys were talking about how it went up to the 7th floor, and then all these notes come out about what is our goal, to fire him, to prosecute him, to catch him in a lie. You know, these are all your fall guys. They're taking orders from somebody higher, even Comey. And it all goes back to what Andy said. Obama didn't want Flynn in. He didn't like him. And Sally Yates is the next in line. And that's one thing I have not heard anybody talk about is, where is Sally Yates' role in this? Because she was out to get Flynn right from the beginning.
100%. I'd like to know if she authorized it. I'm sure she's in the loop on it. And Andy, Andy's the Sally Yates expert here at the ACLJ, so I'll let Andy, and as one of the president's lawyers, he was our Sally Yates expert. Andy?
Yeah, we can talk about Sally Yates all day. Here's the deputy attorney general. Don't tell me she didn't know what was in that FISA affidavit and that FISA information that was presented to Judge Contreras to get the warrant against Carter Page. She knew very well what was in there. And Sally Yates is also smarter than the Office of Legal Counsel, because when the president put the travel ban into effect from those certain countries that Sally Yates made the decision that the Office of Legal Counsel was wrong and goes out as the acting attorney general and says, don't enforce this. And not only that, she's smarter than the Supreme Court of the United States. that said that the president was right in doing the travel ban. So she's a very smart person. She is a very smug person, a person who decides on her own what is right, regardless of what the law is. Somebody needs to look at her because she was in the thick of it as the second in command at the Justice Department. And don't let anybody tell you that that's not true.
Jordan, let's take Linda's call out of Indiana. It's a great call.
Hey, Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, and I appreciate your conversations every day. But I'm just one of we the people, and we'd like to see justice to be done immediately. Yep. I don't know why we have to wait so long to get things done. They're probably trying to run the time out now.
No, I mean, it takes a long time to bring a prosecution. And so I appreciate it, Linda. You got to be patient on this. It is coming out, though, now. So it is happening. And then the Senate now, fan, is looking at oversight hearings on this that will be serious. So, Linda, it's patience is a virtue. And this is one of these situations where you've got to have some patience, because bringing a case is painstaking to make sure you don't just bring a case. You want to be able to win the case. Fan?
That's right.
Yeah, Chairman Graham's looking at the case. The prosecution is building it. And, Jay, ultimately, I think the most important goal of all of it is we have to have law enforcement agencies we can depend on. And, look, I'll say it this way. I really honestly believe, Jay, there's only one way to save these institutions at this point, and it's for the people who conducted these crimes, I will say, for them to be held accountable. And it does have to go all the way to the seventh floor. Director Comey, Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, and certainly Peter Strzok. Jay, if they're not held accountable, I don't think we save those institutions.
I agree. Let's take another call.
Yep, let's go to Michael in Virginia on line 6. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Michael. Yes, greetings from Virginia Beach. Jay, you said correctly, it takes a long time to bring a criminal case. It took 17 years to take down the John Walker spy family from right here in the Virginia Beach, Norfolk area. I agree with Peter Strzok when he said, let's not end this case, because it does take time. We have in office now the only president to have married two women born behind the Iron Curtain.
What does that have to do with this?
I think a crazy conspiracy is what Michael has to do with this.
Goodbye, in the world? That's the way to end the broadcast.
We got a good call. Nancy in Indiana on line 1. Nancy, final call of the day.
That was interesting. Hey, Nancy.
Hi. I'm so thrilled to talk to you. I've got a question, but it leads into another one. The transcripts that Adam Schiff has, can they be subpoenaed by the Attorney General? And once this is in court,
This would set up a separation of powers issue. So, Dan, how do you think that would play out? I mean, it's hard to do this with just a minute left here. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know about the subpoena issue. I'd leave that to someone else, Jay, but here's what I do think would happen. I think if the review process finishes and the White House waives privilege, I think that you will eventually see those documents, because guess what? Chairman Schiff is not going to be chairman of that committee forever, and I do think a ranking member might have cause to release it, since that committee already voted unanimously to do so.
I think they're going to come out, Nancy. Sorry, we ran out of time. Go ahead, Jordan.
43 of the 53 were already declassified by the executive branch at the request of Adam Schiff. So he turned them over at one point to the director of national intelligence to declassify 43 of the 53, still holding on to 10.
All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Again, stay safe. And again, we appreciate your support for the ACLJ at aclj.org. Have a good weekend.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.